of the heart flows the issues of life. And many of these issues stem from one's emotional, mental, and spiritual condition. Such issues may oppress, stifle, and even stagnate one from living a healthy and fulfilling life. So how does one progress past such issues and achieve a state of emotional, mental, and spiritual healing? There's help. So open your heart and prepare your mind. It's time for healing to take place in your life. You're in tuned to Talking with Dr. Toy, a holistic approach to emotional healing. And now, your host, licensed professional counselor, Dr. Toy Lisa Mitchell.
It's just me and you. I feel so lost, 'cause I don't know what to do.
Well, good Sunday afternoon. You're in tune to another broadcast, podcast of Talking with Dr. Toy. Comes your way every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Well, I do want to thank you so much for tuning in to the broadcast. And listen, I always want to start off with my purpose. My purpose is to provide a holistic approach to emotional healing. Therefore, my mission to provide a holistic, restorative, therapeutic approach in addressing and resolving issues that adversely affect the emotional, psychological, spiritual, and physical well-being of individuals who desire to enhance their quality of life. Always want to do a self-care check. How are you and what did you do for self-care this week? Listen, it's so very important that you are taking care of yourself. We're starting in a new year. So I'm hoping that you'll take that five-minute challenge of, hey, where can you find 5 minutes in your day to just really engage in some reflection? How are you really doing? Yes. And how is it showing up in your body? And what do you need? Just really asking those introspective questions so that you are really checking in with yourself. And remember what we talk about when we talk about this aspect of self-care doesn't have to be huge, just little small things that really nourish your well-being and that you're taking an intentional and active part of really taking care of you. So self-care check. How are you? And what are you doing for self-care? And then this notion of community care, power of collective caring, people committed to leveraging their privilege to be there for one another in various ways. And so how did you show up for others this week? And how did you allow others to show up for you? So very important that we connect with aspects of community so that we can receive that nurture and that care that really is sustenance to our soul, to our spirit, to our entire being. And then this self-awareness, internal self-awareness, and that's where this reflection can really take place. How did you show up for you? In what ways are you connecting with your own values and beliefs and being in a space where you can identify those? And not only that, how those show up in what you are doing, your actions, your behaviors. This is very important as you are in tune to self and you have this awareness. I do believe that can help with other awareness as well, so that we can engage in fruitful and healthy interpersonal relationships with others and that intrapersonal relationship with ourselves. So very important. I really want to highlight this aspect of mental health. In this space, I'm going to be honest, I was going to start a different series today, but I did want to depart from that because of just really heart-wrenching and disturbing news about what has recently happened with a beautiful African-American queen that death by suicide. And I'm talking about Dr. Antoinette Bonny, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly, Bailey's death by suicide, VP of Student Affairs at Lincoln University of Missouri. My prayers, our thoughts go out to her entire family and those of women of color who have sacrificed aspects of their lives to give to others, but have been met with microaggressions, have been met with harassment, bullying, have been met with the vitriol of supremacy, white supremacy, in ways that it has denigrated aspects of their character, their peace, their solace. And so I wanted to really pause, because I think we as a people really need to take note of this, and that is not just a news feed that is heightened for today and then buried in the news of the day, that we really hone in on our mental health. I'm also reminded this death by suicide, I'm also reminded about two other profound, beautiful queens that died in academia. Dr. Joan Epps of Temple University, Dr. Arindia Matega of Ball State called her Dr. O. Women, black women, whose lives, at least physical lives, are no longer here. Yes, their legacy lives on, and we praise God for the imprint that they've made, that they had made with students and their impact. But I want them here. Just of the ways in which they showed up in the world, which are jewels and treasures. But lives, I believe, in my own opinion, cut short. So I think we, well, I don't want to say think. I believe it's time for us to continue to emphasize and have conversations and cultivate communities of care around these women of color who are in these spaces that are racially charged, racially exhausting to enter into, and how we show up for others and may struggle showing up for ourselves, in that we're not nurturing and caring for our lives. You know, we talk about how African American women, black women, are the incubators of culture and the nurturers of the communities, and we name them as aunts and moms and all of that, and this endearing. However, we also have to give way to the humanity of African-American and black women and women of color. We have to give way to their humanity so that they don't have to ask our permission to take a rest. And they don't have to experience our judgment to take rest, to take care of themselves. And we cease to put upon these expectations that they are super women. Because at the end of the day, we can't move beyond our mere humanity. Yes, there's a spiritual strength that we have as we embrace our Creator, as we walk in the image and the likeness of our Savior. And yes, there's a strength and there's a faith that comes, and we are grateful to grab hold of that, to take hold of that and allow that to minister to ourselves and to minister to others. However, we are human. And one of the things that I still stress and emphasize, even in this spiritual space, that even God on the seventh day rested. And so sometimes we look at rest as this aspect of laziness, and we struggle with rest because we are seeking to try to run like a hamster on a hamster wheel to meet everyone's expectations, to not disappoint everyone. But in the meantime, we are killing ourselves. In the meantime, we're not nourishing ourselves. In the meantime, we are depleted. We are exhausted, and we still give out of our fumes until we have nothing left to give. And then when we don't have anything left to give, we try to turn to others in order to be filled. And then they say, "You're the one that's supposed to be there for me." They don't even have, to some degree, the capacity for us to even lean in, because they've been leaning on for so long that they themselves don't know how to nurture and to be there for others. And they are crippled. And so we find ourselves on a limb saying, "Who? Where? Where do I turn to?" And so sometimes what we do is that we turn to our work. We turn to our accomplishments. We turn to these things to give us the inner feeling of fulfillment, of validation, of affirmation, of worth. And when we are faced with these microaggressions, when we are faced with these aspects of white supremacy, and when we are faced with these things in the hallowed halls of academia, in the spaces of the sacred church, in the spaces even of our families, in the spaces of our friends, in the spaces of corporate America, in the spaces of nonprofit, in the spaces of industry, wherever we are, when we are faced with these things, with these notions, when we are experiencing these things and we come against these glass ceilings, we come against these walls, these restrictions, we come against these oppressions, when we can't achieve what we want to achieve due to systemic and structural things that are in place, we then to some degree internalize it as our own failure. Well, if I could have jumped high enough, if I could have been totally perfect, if I could have been this way, we turn it inwardly on ourselves as if we're solely to blame for our position. Then we develop this thing, well, let me work harder, let me do this, and it becomes a vicious cycle where we are met to some degree by failings that we internalize as our own, thinking that we can work ourselves out of it. We can just be good enough to work ourselves out of it, only to be met with a higher expectation, with a higher task, with a higher responsibility. Yes, dump on me. I can handle it. She's strong. She's a black woman. They can leap tall buildings in one single bound. And what's amiss in all of this is our humanity. This is for the sisters. My heart is heavy. And someone said this, and I will never forget it, because I too have been in those spaces. Been in those spaces where the microaggressions, the insidiousness of racism, discrimination, and prejudice permeates these institutions, where it's not about caring about your well-being. It's about maximizing what you can do what profits you can bring. And you are, and you're not seen as human. You are seen as object. Don't speak. Just perform. And no matter where you are, that takes a hit on you. And then here's the thing, and this is the insidiousness about it. And because of this culture, to some degree, of having to be strong, then you're met with shame because you're not handling it or taking it like a good soldier. You should just suck it up. Why are you complaining? Don't complain. Don't say anything. Or just keep it moving. And when you are struggling to keep it moving, then there's this expectation where you're supposed to be strong. And so when you find yourself, faltering and struggling, here comes the shame. Well, you shouldn't be struggling. Why should you not be struggling when you are human? You're not a robot. You're not an object. You are human. And when you are able to see your own humanity, and not only to see your own humanity, but to connect with that, with an aspect of compassion and understanding and grace and mercy, then we will turn towards cultivating and nurturing our own humanity. Because in these spaces that can be toxic, that can be draining, you find yourself, the more that you give, the more they expect, the more they want. And the one who's left wanting, the one who's left needing, there's a void there. And we try to fill it with other things while our health is compromised. Yes, I'm talking about aspects of our physical health, high blood pressure. And I've talked about this before, really operating in survival mode, that survival mentality. And when we're in survival mode, because in many cases, when we don't have spaces of safety and we're walking in feeling like other, experiencing otherness, experiencing objectification, experiencing these things, when we walk into spaces, we are in survival mode. So that hypervigilance, all of this is wreaking havoc on our bodies if we're not contending and really nurturing our functioning and how we're showing up in these spaces and really working on ways to regulate our systems, to feel our systems, to nurture our systems, to relax, to rest. It is, in my opinion, it is an issue. And here's the thing, and this is what I was going to say. I was reading a powerful quote by Dr. Thomason. The quote says, "Don't look for affirmation and validation from your oppressors." It's that aspect of looking for validation and affirmation from your oppressors that sustains this aspect of power over. Power over. That yes, we are in a system where we have to work. Yes, we are in a system where we have to perform. We have to support our families. Yes, So I'm not saying that we negate that. I'm not saying that we negate that, that we are in positions where we have to work, we have to perform. But here's what happens. We may struggle with balance, where this work becomes our lives, where this work becomes our identity. And what you do is not who you are. And sometimes we take the bait. We do. We take the hook. We take the bait that in what we do is who we are. So with that type of internalization, we keep striving over and beyond to prove ourselves. I've interviewed African-American women, women of color, who this is ingrained that I've got to prove myself. And that's the intersection, the intersectionality with regards to gender and race and socioeconomic status and sexual orientation, the intersectionality of what we experience in our bodies. And one is that I have to prove myself. And so if I'm in a constant cycle of having to prove myself and seeking the validation and affirmation of my oppressors, that keeps me oppressed. And I'm trying to, in essence, get up from that oppression, but I'm still seeking the validation and affirmation of the oppressor. And what does that do? That causes me to expend my energy in a place that keeps pushing it down. Because the goal is never for you to get elevated. The goal is never for your liberty and your freedom. Their goal is not for that. Their goal is to get what they can. And sometimes that means by any means necessary. It's vigilant. It's violent. It's insidious. And selfish. And if we, as women of color, if we do not take care of our own well-being and place that as a priority in our lives, listen, if we cease to value our lives, then someone else will define our value and our worth for us, and we'll be chasing that until our demise. These women, say their names. My heart goes out to them. So much pain and sorrow. And they fought. They fought. So it's nothing on them that they did not do. And these are just three women that I mentioned today, but there are so many others on this field of fighting for voice, fighting for visibility, fighting in a world that seems to want to choke it out. Someone said this is utterly exhausting, being Black in America. Utterly exhausting, and especially in phases where there's this notion that's trying to erase a history that we are seeing show up in the very present, in our very presence today, trying to eradicate a history. This comes from a place. And if we don't, and if we are not familiar with our own history, we are blinding ourselves to what is truly happening. We're blinding ourselves to what is truly happening. And so these three women, and there's many, but these three women that I mentioned, I honor them. I thank God for their presence. And this world, our society, will miss them. And that's the part that I think we want to emphasize, that the very forces that may be trying, that are trying to kill our spirit, kill our culture, kill our souls, is the very one that needs it for life. So the very thing that is trying to kill our soul, our spirit, trying to kill our cultures, the very ones that benefit from it, that need it. But here's my challenge. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are oppressed or bruised." Here's my hope, sisters. We have an inalienable right and worth to be free, to be healed, to be restored. And as someone said this, just because if an environment is toxic and it is not healthy for your well-being, then my goal is to identify what your values are and live according to those values. And if you have shame about taking care of yourself so that you can be, so you can nurture aspects of yourself, if that brings about shame for you, my hope is that you will question that. Instead of trying to persevere and push past that by thinking that I can just achieve levels of more attainment and more achievement, and if I do this, then I'll make it, I'll be what they're wanting me to be. Listen, they'll always move the mark. They'll always move the mark. It is with reason that when we look at structural and systemic issues in our society, that we see the health disparities, the percentages of where African-American women are, where people of color are. These statistics do not lie. It is showing a pattern. So it's not just us not doing the work. It's us trying to do the work, but there are systems and structures in place that seek to oppress, to annihilate us in a way where we forget who and whose we are. So my question for you is this: how in the world are you planning to invest in yourself this year? My hope is that you attend to not only your physical health, but your mental, spiritual, soul health, because your life, our very lives, depend on it. Please, please take care of yourself. Please seek help. Please identify whatever your needs may be. Please tune into them. Don't suppress them. Don't deny them. Turn towards them so that you are on a path to healing and restoration, and not that it's a fantasy, but it is your reality. It is what we've been promised, and take hold of that promise and don't let that go. We seek for healing and restoration, energized, synergized, to be who we are called to be and to walk into aspects of our identity, not defined by our achievements or our accomplishments, but by the Creator, who we have His same breath within us, saying that we are worthy, that we are wonderfully and beautifully made. And it's not about our accomplishments, it's about who we are. So connect with that, embrace that, cultivate that, and walk in that, and take care of you, sister. Please take care of you. Well, listen, that's all I have time for today. But again, as I always say, relentlessly and intentionally pursue authentic and genuine relationships vertically with God, horizontally with others, and inwardly with yourself. Maintain and sustain a keen sense of awareness and ongoing discovery about self as well as others. Take good care of you and engage in things that are helpful for your mind, body, soul, and spirit. And remember, out of the heart flows the issues of life. Let's continue to talk about it and continue our journey towards emotional healing. Until next time, bye-bye. So I need. You've been in tuned to Talking with Dr. Toy, providing a holistic approach to emotional healing with your host, licensed professional counselor, Dr. Toy Lisa Mitchell. Please connect with me at talkingwithdrtoy.com or Facebook at Talking with Dr. Toy or email talkingwithdrtoy@gmail.com. I would love to hear your story and hear your heart regarding the issues of life you may be experiencing. Remember, out of the heart flows the issues of life. Let's continue to talk about it. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening, and please join me next week for Talking with Dr. Toy.